Hi, my name is Carol Dortchright, and what a great honor, what a great privilege it is to be here with my Deliverance family. I say Deliverance family because we all grew up in Deliverance under the great Apostle Arturo Skinner. I have with me here today three guests who are my family. We grew up together in this great move of God, and that's exactly what it was. I'd like for you all to meet Overseer E. Lois Bellamy. Where is your church located?
306 Somerset Street in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
You're going to be hearing a little bit more from her later on, the number of years that she's been pastoring and the great work that she's been engaged in. Sitting next to her, we have the Apostle Marcus Barnes. Please, where is your church located?
My church is located in Irvington, New Jersey, 915 Stuyvesant Avenue. I'm co-pastoring with Pastor Teresa Ayers.
And your sister, she's my baby sister. We grew up with this lovely family. You're going to be hearing more about them. Sitting next to Apostle Barnes is my sister, Bishop Vanessa Everett. And you're located?
I'm located at 815 Springfield Avenue in Irvington, New Jersey. Deliverance, Jesus is coming.
Amen. Our precious brother, the husband of Bishop Vanessa Everett, went home to be with the Lord pre-COVID.
Yes.
And oh, what a celebration of life that was. I'm so thankful that you all are here with us today in this great conversation about deliverance. And when I talk about, or when I hear Reverend Arturo Skinner, that name, there are a couple of words that comes to my mind. One in particular is supernatural. I grew up in the church, and the churches that I attended, visited, very, very few of them used that word. Why do you think that was a part of deliverance, that word, that term, supernatural?
Supernatural to us, or to me, was the unexpected spiritual move of God in services, the happenings that brought about the miracles and the signs and wonders that we saw in each of our services that were conducted on the weekly basis.
Apostle, there in Brooklyn, in our Brooklyn church, and we were in Newark, we were in Brooklyn, we were in Philadelphia, but there on the walls of that church in Brooklyn, what did we see when we walked in that building?
It was truly fascinating to me, and I'm sure everyone else. We saw canes, we saw neck braces, we saw even wheelchairs lined up, and any kind of medical device that people wore, even back braces, were on the walls showing the supernatural anointing in that building. And I saw the supernatural miracles. You see, not just looking at those things, you saw it happen in every service. You expected that to happen. To add some more paraphernalia on that wall.
So we came expecting to see miracles, signs, and one. And it was totally supernatural.
Sure was.
Hey, Pastor Bellamy, Overseer Bellamy, you are still pastoring there in Somerset, New Jersey. Please share with us how you met Pastor Skinner.
Well, how I really met Pastor Skinner was one of the sisters at the church, praise God, not at my church, she was another church, she kept coming over to Newark at 505 Central Avenue. And so I said, well, I'll go over with you, amen. So that's how I began to know Pastor Skinner. I came over with her, and that's where I met him at, amen. Signs, wonders, and miracles.
Beautiful. Wow. You know, back then, there were many churches that were not permitting women to be engaged in leadership positions in the church. But Pastor Skinner did not see man, woman, he saw and he encouraged leaders, whether they were male or female.
Amen.
We have an example of that, two examples sitting here, as we were just talking with Overseer Bellamy there. But we have also Bishop Vanessa.
Amen.
Do you feel as though what you experienced in deliverance assisted you in this role that you have today as a female bishop?
I oftentimes use a term that God had a setup. And as a youth in deliverance, I became a part of the prayer team. I became a part of the choir. I learned the disciplines of serving and working in ministry, not to realize that it would have a real serious effect on what would take place in my life in these 21st centuries. And as I served, I remember one particular incident where there was a little trouble going on, and I went in to see my spiritual dad, Apostle Skinner.
Okay.
And his response to me was, you stay right where you are and keep working because God is working something out in you, preparing you for your life.
All right.
And so, yes, I believe the impact that took place there was a great one. It was a time of joy, of serving, and being a part of what was going on, and learning to believe God through the process,
learning
to trust Him, and knowing that it was not limited just for Apostle Skinner's life, but God would work through us if we allowed Him to.
We were so blessed. We were fortunate
Amen.
To
yes, Lord.
Experience personally the signs, the wonders, and the miracles.
The miracles, yes.
I come from a family, a large family. There were 10 of us, 9 girls and 1 boy. We didn't have a lot, but we experienced the God in Pastor Skinner that taught us, and we lived as though we were rich, as though we had a lot. He taught us excellence.
Yes.
He taught us how to carry ourselves around everyone, not to look down on anyone.
That's right. That's right.
But to experience love for mankind. You worked there, Reverend Marcus.
Yeah.
You worked there at the, what was it called?
Well, it was the deliverance offices.
Offices.
The administrative offices.
The administrative offices,
and,
yes.
And, you know, it was as many as 30 people was working in that area when I first started, where I was in the bookkeeping department. And I worked there. And that's what really just fascinated me. We were at that time we didn't have the computers. We had to enter by hand.
Look at that.
The tithes, the offering in the books and whatnot. I thought I was very, as you say, I thought I was very important. Very important. And doing that. And then I went over to start working in the print shop. Now we had a magazine that went out, and thousands of magazines
that
went out every month,
and also on buses.
Yeah,
that were in Newark, Jersey City, all over.
Trains too.
Trains.
The advertisement.
Yes, for the many services that were going on.
Yes,
and can you imagine in the 60s, the 70s? Mm-hmm. Here is an African American man of God.
All right.
Doing all, employing people. As a matter of fact, I saw an article in the Congressional Record that one of the legislators had placed there, and it was talking about all the many wonderful things that Pastor Skinner had done. And one in particular is what we were just talking about. The employment that was provided for the community, for the members of the church. Mm-hmm. I remember being at the Deliverance Church in Hoboken, in Jersey City.
Oh.
And today, Reverend Barnes, you have a church in the city of
Irvington.
And you know, and as we mentioned before, Overseer Bellamy has a church there in Somerset. These leaders learned how to administratively lead people to have services, to employ others. Listen, I'm talking too much because there's so much to talk about this great man of God. Yeah. Bishop Vanessa, when did you first meet him?
I first heard of Apostle Skinner when I was about 6 years old. He came into the community and started having prayer services on the corner across from my house. Mm-hmm. Some of you may know of the late Mother Amadis.
Yes.
She happened to have lived down the street from us.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And where was this?
This was on Peschine Avenue in Newark.
Oh my.
And he conducted those prayer services there. My mom became inquisitive and started going. As a short testimony in there, because my dad was not a Christian, was not saved, and my mom was going to these services, he thought it was time for the family to move. And he moved us to South 8th Street, a half a block from where Apostle Skinner would then go and buy the first church, 505 Central Avenue. It was just a continuous lead toward what God had in store and planned for my life.
Beautiful.
And from there, the desire to be in services, the desire to be with the youth, the attraction that there were so many young people coming and getting involved in the service. One of the things I do recall is that the young people gravitated there because there was sometimes what we might consider a lack of a parent, a fathering.
Yes, yes, yes.
And while Apostle Skinner was our pastor and leader, he also took an interest of the young people that were a part of the ministry. How could he do that for so many hundreds of kids? But
hundreds.
He did.
I remember in particular, Mark Turner says that Pastor Skinner said, "I will be your father."
Yes.
Overseer Bellamy, she mentioned 505. Mm-hmm. Bishop Vanessa mentioned 505 Central Avenue. Is that where you first came and met Pastor Skinner?
Yes, at 505 Central Avenue.
And tell me, what was it that impressed you about the services and about Pastor Skinner? What was it?
Well, the miracles that I was seeing, and the folks was getting healed and delivered and set free by the power of God. And
yes.
Seen the drug addicts coming in and they getting delivered. That's what inspired me. Amen. And then it was a lot of youth people there, a lot of young folks.
Yes.
A lot of young folks.
Yes.
Amen. They were there praising God and getting saved and getting filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And
yes.
It was just wonderful. It was just grand.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Reverend Marcus, what do you think we can do today to continue the vision of taking the land? You remember the song, "Deliverance is taking the land."
Well, I remember what the great apostle taught, and I witnessed it. And when you said taking the land, I think it's a continuation of what the great apostle started. He said, I couldn't really fathom what he meant by taking the land, but now, you know, America is huge, and he has the deliverance ministry has touched every state in the Union and overseas. You know, and it has. You can, if you did something, you told me to do something while we were in the room. You said just Google it.
Yes.
And I began to read, and I put my phone away. Amen. And it lit. Literally, churches planted in just about every state.
So what you're saying is that deliverance is global.
Yes, it is.
It is
global. Oh, that's without saying.
But here in New Jersey, whether North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever in the United States, deliverance continues to take the land.
Yes, it does, Carol.
Communities. And What a time when deliverance is so needed.
Yes.
I need to just drop this thought in here. Apostle Skinner was one that had an eighth grade education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But he was not limited because of his lack. Mm-hmm. He had the boldness to go forth with a vision and to bring others in to that vision. I think this is so important, engaging others that could help him get the vision out across the land. And so when God gave him something to do, he went with it. He found someone that could work with him. He prayed about it, and God would expand and cause it to come to full fruition. But it was the fact that he never hesitated because of what he thought he didn't have. He had holy boldness.
You know what? He had when I think of, he was a supernatural man of God, corporate executive. And what does a corporate executive do? If he doesn't know it, he go and hire or get someone to do that job.
Right. That's right. Pastor Vanessa, because you mentioned his talking to pastors. How about Brooklyn on Saturday nights?
Oh, Brooklyn. Ugh. That was so wonderful.
And then there was once a month when there was a
pastor's service that he had monthly, and hundreds of pastors would come.
Yes.
Yeah,
once a month from the South, from the North, all over to be a part, to be ministered to hear the word of God, to learn how to function and fellowship together.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing that caused the ministry across of deliverance to grow, is that there was a continuous fellowship of the pastors as a result of the encouragement of the apostles.
Oh, yes. Sure. I love what you said before, Pastor Marcus, that he would bring others to help to carry forth the vision.
Yeah.
He was not intimidated.
Not at all.
By the strengths, by the gifts, the talents of others. But he knew how to incorporate those. And he knew how to see the gifts and talents within those that had not been brought out, but he knew how to draw them out.
When I came to deliverance, I was studying opera. God blessed me to get a scholarship to Juilliard School of Music. And I was studying. I wanted to be another Paul Robeson. And he knew about Paul Robeson. So, but he said, you're going to be my George Beverly Shea. So who was George Beverly Shea? He said, and I want you to sing for me. You know, this was a gospel black church, and gospel singers like Carol Dodge and others, they sang gospel. And I sang Ave Maria and all of that stuff. I was very...
And we loved it.
I was very pronounced and very, all of that. And he said, he talked like this. He said, Sean, don't you change a thing. He said, I want you to sing for us just the way you are. And I said, wow. So he put me with a wonderful lady, Mother Alexander. She was a pianist. She could read music. She said, teach my son all of those hymns, all this sacred stuff.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. We're going to end it right there. We're going to come back in our next segment, and we're going to hear about what happened with Marcus and Sister Alexandra. Thank you for being here with us.